Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back. I want you to look at the images on Coast to Coast AM that Glenn sent to us that Lexus posted right under Glenn Steckling's name. He's the director, copyright owner of the 60-year-old plus George Adamski Foundation, one of the oldest enduring UFO organizations. Degreed veteran, 35-year airline pilot retired with more than 23,000 hours of flight time across the globe. Also an amateur astronomer, author, lecturer, and he shares his own unique UFO experiences and history exceeding over half a century. Here he is back on Coast to Coast with the UFO reality. Glenn, always a pleasure having you on the show.
Well, thank you, George. Good morning to you, and it's a pleasure to interact with you. The last time we saw each other, I believe, was June of 2019 when we did your show Beyond Belief.
That's right. I remember that. I'm still getting comments about you.
Oh, well, good. Well, hopefully good ones, but either way, we'll take them one way or the other.
Explain to our incredible audience who George Adamski was.
Well, he was considered one of the pioneers of the early contactee movement. He had taken a number of UFO photos already starting in the late 30s, early 40s that he gave to the U.S. government and military, and they became more prevalent after the Second World War when he got himself some new telescopic equipment and he mounted the camera on it and moved to the base of Mount Palomar, which is the home of the 200-inch Hale Observatory. And he started taking a number of photographs clear of these bell-shaped and cigar-shaped UFOs. They mimed the same photographs that I submitted to your producer that's also on my photo page there from 1949, October, in which the astronomical staff took over a period of 1 week a number of UFO photos, both information and singularly. And this was all submitted to Project Blue Book along with George's reports and photographs and what have you. So his experiences spanned for a number of about 20 years, and he was known for his books, Flying Saucers Have Landed, which he co-authored with Sir Desmond Leslie of the Leslie lineage in Ireland, the royal lineage in Ireland, and then later Inside the Spaceships, and then his third book, Flying Saucers Farewell, which we re-released as its paperback title was done in the 1970s. We re-released it in 2015 with additions and photographs and called it Behind the Flying Saucer Mystery 2. So George was well known around the world. He took two world tours, lectured, showed his films, unparalleled films taken in many different locations, and he interacted with a number of heads of state, President Eisenhower, President Kennedy, and others, Queen Juliana, Pope John the 23rd. So you can really say that from the standpoint of UFO history, nobody stands out like George Adamski.
What did people think of him at the time, Glenn?
I think that he was very well received. We were in an era, of course, of space exploration. When the scientists from Peenemünde, from Germany, were taken to White Sands and sequestered there for the rocket systems, and that people were thinking about space. And of course, then in 58, when Sputnik went up, and then shortly thereafter, President Eisenhower created NASA, and then people's minds were in space, and they were also, more importantly, given enough factual, credible evidence. I mean, as I said in the second half of my book, one chapter talks about mass sightings, because people always say, well, you know, how come they don't land on the White House yard, or they're not seen more, or as lately the Israeli spokesman who said, well, that they're hiding from us because they don't want us to panic. That's absolute nonsense. If you look at, let's just start in our own country of July 52. All the flying saucers taken, photographed in formation, flying through Washington's airspace behind the Capitol building. We scrambled F-86s and P-80 shooting stars in order to chase them down, and we got absolutely nowhere. Then you had mass sightings over the United Kingdom in 1954, then Central Europe through France and Paris, and then November of 54, for 1 week, they were there every day performing aerial maneuvers over Rome and the Vatican. And if you look, I included it in the book as well, the pictures from Japan and from Russia.
Great book, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. It took a number of years, and during my illness, I put it aside for 2 years, and then finally kicked myself and said, let's get it finished and get it done, because it needs to be out there. So I think that it's important that people are, you know, especially the newer generations that are so addicted to the Internet, everything is momentary flash. They have no concept of the history and the actual circumstances behind this UFO field. And since my family had met and worked alongside George Adamski, became his personal friends and co-workers, we became exposed to these spaceships close and their pilots, their space visitors. And from there, as I said in the book, we went to NASA and to the Pentagon and the House of Lords and all these institutions that treated this subject courteously and knowledgeably. They knew a lot of information about it already. And like Colonel Freeman said, when they looked at George's pictures and Dad's films, they said these are some of the best they've seen in civilian hands.
Yeah, you got involved in this because of your father, didn't you?
Well, yeah, the whole family, you know, my entire family, my father and mother and I, we witnessed a UFO over downtown D.C., not the first one, but this was in March of 63. There were 30 other witnesses and the reporter for the Washington Daily News, and it was in the newspaper the following day. And one of these bell-shaped scouts were hanging about and maneuvering about 1,200 feet above central Washington, D.C., and then my father said, well, we've seen plenty of these things, and he had witnessed them as a kid, both my father and mother, during the war in Europe. So he went to the Library of Congress and started with A for Adamski, and there were the books, there were the photographs of the same things we had seen. And my father wrote him, and George said, I'm coming to D.C. In a couple months to lecture to the Air Force Reserves. we'll meet then. And so from then, that's how the story, you know, gathered speed and accumulated. And we were eventually the inheritors of all the Adamski estate materials and copyrights, and we continued the foundation. My father passed away in 91, and I became primary director, and my mother passed away in 2018, so all the legal paperwork and copyrights and everything like that went from her to me. So I continue the work, and I find it very fulfilling, and I was very happy to put that book out. I think it gives people a realistic, rational view of the history that we experienced in this UFO field. And my God, when I think about all the things that they did, my parents and myself, I mean, you really don't think about it accumulatively until you go back and start writing it down. And then you remember things you didn't include and what have you. But I think there's sufficient information in that book. And I think the second chapter, the reality check, deals with the terrible dysfunction within the UFO community that has evolved today.
It's crazy these days. You should give your book to every member of Congress whenever they do these hearings, you know?
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, I've done a number of shows. I did one in Scotland last week. I'll do one in the United Kingdom on Sunday. And I'm trying to work to get the book out in some multiple languages, depending on how the publishers are agreeable to it. And like I said, it considering what's out there, you know, I really don't find the material that I release to the public any more astonishing than any of the other stuff that's being said.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Glenn, where did you get the pictures you sent to us that we have posted on the website?
Yes, the pictures on the website. Let me see here. The first one, or rather the second one after the link to the UFO films on YouTube, the one that has the white mothership and the two scouts.
Fascinating.
This is a film my father took in 1966. He took two films, two very famous films. One of a fleet of UFOs traveling in the train from Schifferstadt to Mannheim, and that was shown on German national television. And this second film he took out of the porthole of the 707 as we were coming back from Europe. And you could see the mothership and the two scouts there. And then as the film continues to run, the image slowly moves and then moves underneath the number two engine, the number two nacelle, as we pass it by. So that came as a film frame from that film. The secondary picture of the scout that's a bit blurred, this was taken by George Adamski in 1952 at the famous contact site in Desert Center. And there's also, I recently put a YouTube composition on my YouTube channel that has only Desert Center, how to get there, how it looks now, all of that. So it's a pretty good preview, especially for people who are going to go to the UFO conference there in Joshua Tree. It's not too far away. The third picture is a lenticular ship. The older ship is bell-shaped like the previous photograph. And the newer ships now are lenticular-shaped. The bell-shaped craft before it is only good within the atmospheric realm of the planet, so about 200 miles and lower. And it requires a cigar-shaped craft, very much like an aircraft carrier, to bring it to the planet. And then it uses this bell-shaped craft to go about its exercises within the planet's atmosphere. But this lenticular ship, this new ship, carries a crew about 3 to 5. And it can go from planet to planet and travel deep space without the necessity of the mothership.
Have they learned how to bend space and time, Glenn?
Well, they don't have to. You know, bending space and time is nothing more than a theory.
Right.
And as I read recently, the famous quotation that our scientists are now pushing upon the people, they say that... what do they say? They said theory becomes fact until we can prove it otherwise. You know, when you think about it, it's science is supposed to be exactly the opposite. So you're basically told to accept whatever they throw at you. And if you haven't forgotten about it over time and they decide to come back to that issue, you know, you may get some further information. So, no, what they do is they travel at exceedingly high speeds, because they replicate the conditions of the planet itself. You think about Earth, we travel through space at 1,000 miles an hour, rotate at 17,000. Then the planet travels around the sun travels around its universe core. So to make a long story short, this entire system that we are living in is moving at about 1.3 million miles an hour. And yet we sit here perfectly comfortable without the slightest clue. And they have duplicated nature's principles because they work totally within the natural spectrum. There is no such thing as anti-gravity or antimatter. They work pro-gravity. In fact, their system is called pro-gravitic. They work along with nature because nature produces so much power. The planet, trillions upon trillions of volts like a Van de Graaff generator. And so in order to go anti, you would have to produce enough power to nullify that to zero and then produce again that entire spectrum of power to create new. Well, that's double work. They think it's much easier just to work with nature, and they can travel at twice the speed of light. And I've heard that their newer systems are even capable of doing faster than that. So the nearest star system is 4 light years. So, you know, they may be able to do that in a week or two. So there's no need. We have become so enamorized with science fiction terms, parallel universes, other dimensions, time warp, all this other things. These are all figments of our growing and prosperous scientific sci-fi industry. But it doesn't have to do anything with actual potential.
Glenn, why do you believe UFO history is being corrupted?
Well, because I think that if we look at it, we see that there is a very concentrated effort to take current dogma and current thinking and try to push it back in history as far as possible so that people are willing to accept it. So, for instance, when people are talking now about Ezekiel, they say, well, Ezekiel, as it's written in the Bible, this was taken on a ship for a ride. Well, the pro-abduction crowd loves to use that word taken.
Right.
Because that's supposed to indicate you went somewhere against your will. However, in Ezekiel, they never said that he was taken against his will. And it's not any different than saying my neighbor took me to 7-Eleven to pick up a six-pack of Diet Pepsi. He didn't have to kidnap me to do it. And so the use of semantics is being manipulated, just like the term UAP.
Why?
UFO is well known, and it's become associated with extraterrestrial spacecraft. But if they can get the new generation to bite on this transition to UAP, then an entire new focus, an entire new definition can be rerouted and reconstructed in order to leave that past behind.
And it's the definition they want, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we see that this reconstruction of history, I mean, people talk about Roswell and they talk about Kenneth Arnold. Well, Kenneth Arnold was not the litmus test for the term flying saucer. If you look it up, in 1878 in Denison, Texas, there was a witness sighting in which they called it a flying saucer. That term was used long before Kenneth Arnold's time. And everybody makes a big deal out of Roswell, well, as well they should. But who talks about the incident there, Cape Girardeau, in the Midwest of the United States in 1941?
Right.
And, of course, there are other sites like that in Mexico and in Russia and all kinds of other places around the world. And so there's a very orchestrated funneling of information that they want you to have, and they can easily then diverge it by injecting other information that doesn't work, like the MJ-12 papers. Part of it has some credibility to it, but latter parts of it are clearly misrepresentation and false. But what a better way than to grab people, especially people in the UFO community who don't know any better. They like to say they do, but they haven't a clue. And so they start to support something, and then people follow them in that support, and then a whole genre of people begin to believe something that isn't true or has been corrupted.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica. a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.